You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Ashley Gromble. Ashley is a lovely actress and blogger. I've gotten to know her over the years through mutual friends of ours. And almost a year and a half ago, when I first launched the podcast, Ashley happened to put out a side project of her own the very same week. She has an awesome baking and style blog called The Domestic Biatch, which is really beautiful and sweet and reflects her great sense of humor. You can check it out at www.domesticbatch.com. We've been cheering each other on since we both started at the same time, and it made sense to finally do some sort of crossover episode post. If you go check out the blog today, you'll see a post about an awesome berry baked good that she had me over to make. And I am so pleased to have her as my guest to talk about starting the blog, acting, and figuring out life as an artist. I hope you enjoy the 57th episode of The Compass. So how do you keep from going to the dark side as an artist?
Oh my gosh, I'm thinking about this so much. We saw each other, so I was like, I gotta answer it.
And what does the dark side look like for you most often?
Dark side, I was thinking about this a lot yesterday, knowing that I was gonna come here today, and I think I have two dark sides, very different. And the one dark side is when I'm not working on anything, mm-hmm. and I feel really static, and I feel like I'm just someone who is bringing stakes to people in my life 5 times a week, and I have nothing to look forward to because it's a quick spiral into what am I doing, what are my choices, and like why am I not working on anything? And then my other dark side, which I found this year, is the almost dark side, which is you are so close to so many great things,
and yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. It's. I feel like so snobby being like, I ain't great callbacks. But like, it's the kind of thing I'm like, is it better to get callbacks? And you're like, I made a relationship. Or is it better to just not have the opportunity at all? You know, like,
right.
Is it so great to be like, I got so close, and then you don't get it at all and know how close you were? Or is it like, you could have went out of life not having that? You know, like, and then you're
right.
Like, okay, now I'm just, like, working towards the next audition or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, because you start, like, imagining what the experience would be if you got it.
That, because that's, like, such a different kind of dark side. I went to that place this year where I thought something was going to happen that was going to, like, to a point where I was going to be able to quit the restaurant. I was going to be maybe on tour for, like, 9 months. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get paid.
Yeah, I'm going to save so much money.
I'm going to save money. I'm going to get paid to act. I'm going to have such a great time. And, like, there's enough, like, they take off for the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to do what I love to do. And I don't have to have a day job while I do it. And that's, like, such a dream come true. And then you start, like, spiraling into the life that is. Of, like, how great is that? And then when it doesn't come through.
Right.
It is, like, the most epic of crashes. And it's hard to pull yourself out of that kind of dark side just because it's just like, well, if I can work that hard and have people respond that well and then it still doesn't happen, what else can I do?
Yeah.
You know, like, I did everything right. You know, because I know when I, like, bomb an audition and I know when I, like, they like me. I'm totally not going to get that, you know, but when you are going through the stages of things, that was like a dark side I think that I hadn't experienced before, where I thought I saw it in front of me and then it didn't happen. And while I was trying to be like, no, it keeps you humble, like, it's good, you know, truly, it was like, I was so prepared for that. I felt so good in the room. It was so exciting. The callback was so fun. Everyone in the room had a great time. And then it was just like, what? It was so, clearly it's always out of your control, but like, what else could I have possibly done?
Yeah.
And it still didn't come to fruition, you know, so.
And that's such a frustrating thing about this business is that that's a thing.
That's a very real
That's thing. A reality that you have to deal with, and it's out of your control.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, like, most of us deal with all the time. And the more I talk to friends this year, especially towards the end of the year, because this year has been the worst, but like,
true.
For so many reasons. But like, I realize that everyone goes through that stage and or deals with it all the time too. And it's just like, I don't know, you don't want to hang out with your friends all the time and be like, so I almost got this thing. And then everyone gets sad. I'm like, hey, that's not how you want to start a conversation. So but just when I do bring it up, it's clear that everyone is fighting the good fight too.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you try to not go to those two?
Oh my gosh.
Or deal with them? Do you deal with them differently?
I think I do. Have you figured it out? I definitely think that the almost dark side for me is like when I need to, that's when I actually do need like a good cry and then like maybe move on. You know, that's like a more intense dark side that I've realized that I need to deal with. And then when I feel like I'm not working on it, something, that dark side, I just like motivate myself. That's when I'm like, what am I not submitting to? What am I looking at? And that's like when I start really looking at all the outlets I can have to audition or things I can work on or like go to my blog. Like that's what the blog has become for me, is like this, especially when I feel like I'm not creating something. That has been such an amazing oasis of creativity for me, because otherwise that has made me feel like I'm working on something all the time, and it's awesome. Like that has been a really good thing for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about what led you to start it?
Yeah, of course. So yeah. I registered for all this crap for my wedding that my husband was like, he looked at it more than once. He would be like, you know, we're never going to get all that. And I was like, I know. And then I had my bridal shower and I did get all of it. It's like, I have to figure out how to use this because I don't want it to just sit and gather dust on our shelves. And so
all the kitchen things,
so many gadgets. My mother-in-law got me this beautiful KitchenAid mixer. My mom got me like all these baking dishes. It was like so wonderful. I friends that got me like things. It was just really lovely. And like, I started kind of playing around and I kind of started baking a couple things, and I would like bring them to friends and they were just like, this is really good. And I was like, oh, thanks. You know, that's, it's kind of,
you fun. Hadn't been a baker before that, like growing up and everything?
No.
Oh my gosh.
No. I enjoyed cooking. And like Phil and I enjoy cooking, you know, and I've like enjoyed it in my life even when I was like single and stuff like that. But I only got into it because of that. Because
I wanted to learn how to like, awesome.
Use all the things. And so then I had a couple friends be like, you should do a blog, like just kind of off the cuff, you know, clearly like I had no idea what goes into it, and be like, you should have a blog, like if you had a baking blog, I would totally look at these recipes. And I was like, okay. And I started to research it, and I like kind of threw the idea by Phil, and I was like, what if I did this? And he was like, okay, you should totally do this, but just so you know, the website WordPress is like more user-friendly than it used to be, but it's not super easy. Like it's kind of crazy. Like he's like, it's not as much about like coding and stuff, but he goes, so then I started to research. I still read so much about like blogging and how to set up your website and how to set up a WordPress website and how to have a theme and how to have plugins and how to have things.
WordPress is like specifically for blogs.
Yeah. It's like a hosting site basically.
Okay.
So like you can buy your domain name off of like a couple of big like host sites, like GoDaddy's one, Bluehost. I think I used HostGator, and then that's how you buy it. And then you like input that into WordPress and then they have your site. And so it's just like, but then there's so many things of like plugins, which are like apps basically. So my plugin is like, I have a thing that I downloaded that's on my blog where my recipes are in. So that's how you can like print them. If that's like a whole separate thing
that organizes them for you.
Yeah. Or like, I'm trying to think of whatever, like a plugin that does my Google Analytics of like who sees my blog and where they're from and what country they're from and where they live and like how long they stay on my page.
That's cool.
It's really interesting of like, I think it's called the bounce rate. I don't know, that's crazy. So it's like things like that I had to read. I think my blog like started to exist in mid-July, but I didn't launch it or tell anyone about it until mid-August because I was trying to figure out how to do it correctly. So yeah, that was kind of like, I was enjoying baking, and baking was like a really nice thing that would kind of be therapeutic or
yeah.
make me feel like I was creating something, because summer is so lame for theater. And it's like, if you didn't book something in like February for the summer, like you're not going to do anything for the mm-hmm. summer unless you make your own work. And so I was just like, I want to do this. I want it to be my project. And I did. And so then I started doing like one entry a week, and I started reading how that's not enough. And so I started doing like 2 to 3 a week. And so it kind of varies between that, depending on how busy I am, I guess.
And how did you come up with the style idea to like combine, it's not just baking. She also does like outfits.
Oh yeah. I started doing that because a couple years ago, maybe like 4 years ago, I was kind of a sloppy mess. Like I just didn't care about what I wore. Mm-hmm. And I lived with a really fun roommate who was a dancer, and we went to SMU together, but we didn't become close until we lived together. Cause like I needed a roommate, and like someone through a mutual friend was like, you should live with her, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, great. And so then we met, but she was this like beautiful cut statuesque chick. And like, she has like the abs I'll never have. And she would wear like
dancers.
Yeah. Dancers don't. Oh, it hurts. But she would wear like oversized sweatshirts and like leggings, and she looked smoking in it, like
yeah.
you know, she's a person who wore like no makeup and a beanie, but she was like so stunning because she was like a dancer. And I tried to do that too, because I didn't know what my style was, and I just looked like a slob. I just looked like a mess. Like I had ripped t-shirts, and I wore a lot of yoga pants. It just, like, looking back, you know, it just didn't look great.
Yeah.
And so I finally started like put my life to, and I was like, I just need a wardrobe overhaul. And I started to slowly, I promised myself that I would buy things, even if it took a while, that I really loved, that I would wear.
I feel like I am at the beginning of that process.
Where it's just like, I want to feel good, and if it's expensive, but I know it's a piece that'll last a mm-hmm. long time, it's worth it. Or
yeah.
if it's a classic piece, you know?
Yeah, when you realize that, like, I don't enjoy wearing.
Right.
I was like for my winter clothes, I realized that. I was like, I don't enjoy wearing my winter clothes. I have them because they were cheap and they're warm.
Right.
And that's it.
You gotta layer up.
Yeah.
Like, that's winter life. But then you kind of walk around thinking about that, you know, and you like get ready in the morning and you're like, meh, you know,
yeah.
and it's kind
doesn't
of
make you feel good.
No. And I feel like I wanted to, even if my life wasn't together. I wanted to
look
together.
That's good.
Yeah. And so I started to like slowly buy things that I really loved, that I loved the way it looked, or investing in pieces that I knew would last. So that's kind of how I started style. And then I was just like, one of the things I read about like blogging is like, what's your niche? What's your, you know, what are you going to do to like make yourself different? And so it's so much crap. It's bananas. But like, I decided, because there's, you know, blogging is not new anymore. It's very common. There's so many food blogs.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what if I tie in other things that I love, you know, together? Like, what if I relate somehow the outfit to what I bake, which is kind of like kitschy and fun and mm-hmm. different. And that way I'm showing, like, I'm able to do more than one thing that I love, but also it makes my blog a little bit different. And that way also, on a selfish level, I can pull in readers that want fashion blogs and pull in readers that want baking.
Yeah.
Because it brings both those together, and like, whether people are into the theme or not, it's whatever. They can skip through the recipe and look at the outfit, or they can not pay attention to the outfit and just get the recipe, you know? So it was kind of something that I was just like, I should make, this is how I'm going to make it different.
Yeah.
That was kind of like what I decided.
I was so excited to do this little like meetup of our two projects, because it was just crazy to me that we happened to, without knowing it, like start them both like the same week.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's done the same thing for me, like to have something to work on my own.
Right.
Has been so powerful in my life the last almost year and a half.
Yeah.
It really gives you like some power.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to be in charge of something.
Life. And no one else gets to tell you that you get to put it out.
No. And people can have opinions and it doesn't matter because it's yours.
That's true.
Everyone's got one.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion, but it's so nice to like have something that you really enjoy that still I think is in the vein of what we do, but it's different enough that it's a really nice haven.
Do you feel like your goal with the blog has changed a lot since when you first started it to now?
I think so. I think my goals have become more realistic in the way that I'm like, I don't know how to get my recipes out there. Or like, it's hard to have goals when you don't have a lot of content, mm-hmm. because the whole reason that people find your recipes and then stick to it is because they like all your content. So while I like launched my blog, I only had one entry, and now that I've got a year and a half, you know, under my belt, and I have a lot of recipes still, like, for me, I mean, I'm like a super baby blog for like other food bloggers, but it's become more realistic that like people find my recipes on like a lot of different sites that I submit to. And it's like becoming realistic that because I'm slowly gaining more traffic, I'm going to hope to monetize my blog in the next year.
Awesome.
Which I've really been like holding off. Because one of my biggest pet peeves, and I know it's how people make money, like I get it, but when you have like all these pop-ups or like all these ads that you have to scroll past, it
can get excessive.
It really can. And I know that like a lot of people who stay at home, this is their job, like that's how they have an income. Like I totally respect that. But I promised myself that I was like not going to overdo it when I do decide to take that step. And I really want to eventually work with brands for like sponsored posts for food and or products that I believe in and trust, which I took a workshop at the blog convention I went to a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it was the best thing I did for that whole weekend, because it was about talking about how to work with brands and like what to expect. And it's like, you need a lot of traffic for people to like have a show about you.
Right.
But it became like, I think when I started, I'm like, this is fun. And now I'm like, oh, people enjoy this. Like, oh, this was featured on this blog. That's exciting. Oh, like Food Gawker put me on their Instagram feed and I got like 2,500 likes, and it was insane. And for like the blog, which is, you know, that's like the grossest sentence I've ever said, but like, to worry about likes, but it's a way to bring, I mean, you have to, like, I have to admit, like, blogging is social media, and it's online, and it's technology. Like, that's what it is, and that's what I've chosen to do
mm-hmm.
as a creative outlet. And so it's like, I have to care about people seeing what I do in, like, Instagram, or, you know, I even post on LinkedIn, you know, like, I post on Facebook, I post on Tumblr, you know, it's like, on Pinterest, you know, and it's just really, it's like making me realize that these things are attainable, but it's definitely, it's persistence, but
it's a lot of time too.
It is a lot of time
to keep up with all those things.
It is. It's,
I mean, I know even from like the minimal stuff I do for the podcast, I mean, it takes time.
Right. And I think people underestimate that. Like, like editing, making, you know, like the kind of work that goes into side projects like this, I don't think people totally put it together sometimes that's like what you're doing when you're not at work or like working on your career.
Yeah.
You know, like that's all that's your time.
Do you feel, have there been any moments when you're like, okay, this is taking away from the time I need to spend pursuing acting, or like, I need to put this on the back burner a little bit, 'cause I love it, but I don't want it to like become a stressful thing for myself.
Yeah. I've had a couple weeks specifically that like you can scroll through and be like, because I got pretty consistent with at least 2 posts a week. And then I feel like it was only a couple months ago that I like had all these great things planned, and I don't even remember what it was, like auditions or what, or reading or whatever it was, and I couldn't put anything up. Like, I just didn't have the time, and I was stressing out. I was like, but I have to bake this, and I have to take the pictures, but I have to take outfit pictures, but I can't lose the light, and because that, now I need natural light for like the food, I have to take it before like 3 o'clock. And I was like, no, like this is not what this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
You gotta remind yourself sometimes.
Yeah, like this is, and then I get so tied up of like 2-3 posts a week, 2-3 posts a week. And then I look at other blogs that are super successful, and there are some people that do post like 4 times a week, but that is their income and they're very, very successful.
And their full-time job.
That is their full-time job.
Yeah.
But then I look at other blogs who are still rising through like all the steps of becoming a bigger blog. And I mean, a lot of them post even less than I do. Mm-hmm. And it's just been like good content, persistence, and doing it many years that people like trust them. So I've gotten really stressed and had to be like, people aren't going to like think that you've quit
because right.
you didn't post anything for a week.
Yeah.
You know,
like it's okay.
Yeah. It's going to be okay. But it can get, I think because so much of what I do has to be done during daylight.
Uh-huh. Especially now in winter, that's even harder.
It is really hard. And I've had to let go of doing pictures of steps of every single step, especially because I've worked during the day a handful more than I did last year. And so, like, I'll get out of work and I'll head home and it's after 5. So I'm like, well, I have the evening, so I'm going to bake what I want to bake, but, like, the pictures will look like poop. So I'm just going to, like, take pictures tomorrow morning with the result and... hopefully people won't get mad about it that they don't like know what the steps look like.
Ooh,
like
then you have to steps. Keep yourself from eating it until the next day. How do you do that?
Sometimes I'm just like, well, this is in the fridge. Like, please, you can have it tomorrow, but like, I gotta take pictures.
But it's so good right out of the oven.
It's the worst sometimes. I feel like, or I'll bring things to work and there's like a piece missing. I'm like, I had to take pictures, guys. I'm sorry. It's not like totally complete, but it's, I had to take pictures. I'm like, I had to like style it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's like, it's weird how I'm like, okay, daylight, I have to like do this during daylight.
Yeah.
Or it looks bad. I don't know.
Can I ask, because you, did you move to New York straight after undergrad?
Just about, yeah.
Just about.
Yeah, I saved money in Dallas, like 6 months or so. I saved up enough that I could like move here on my own and not have to like ask my parents, or that I felt like I could not work for a month or two, it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, because a lot of... the folks I have on went to grad school after undergrad,
yeah.
just because that happens to be what I did. So I know a lot of people who did it too.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, it would be helpful for people to know kind of like what your transition was coming to the city straight after out of undergrad, and like what resources you've found really helpful to kind of build your community in the city. I mean, I'm sure you have some friends here from undergrad as well, but kind of make that structure for yourself moving here.
It was really weird because I look back as like I'm getting closer and closer to 10 years here because I promised myself that I would give myself 10 way back when. I was like, if you're not acting consistently in 10 years, you should quit. Because that's actually what was said
to us. Oh my gosh. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
Marathon.
There was something said to us in a class called Business and Professional Aspects. And I mean, our teacher was, I think, very successful in his heyday, but he was older. And I mean, he said like within, almost positive, he was like, if you're still making money waiting tables, like 5 months after moving to New York. Yeah, no,
what?
Something crazy, like under a year. He's like, you're not an actor anymore, you're a waitress.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, once I moved
sorry,
I'm
moving
here,
my leg. That's asleep. Okay, go.
It was like one of those things that it was terrifying to hear that.
Yeah.
And then you move here and realize...
that's not reality.
No, and my program, while it was really great while I was there, I know has even gotten better and stronger since I've left, which I think is great because I think it's... grad school isn't for everyone. I think it is an amazing thing that I've been very interested in the past, and... I didn't go, and it was just like, I think it's important to know that you can still go through, you can still find great resources here without it. And it's been really hard, honestly, finding those resources because I had to find them on my own.
Right.
There was only a handful of us that went to New York after we graduated. A lot of people went to LA. Good amount went to Chicago, and we were kind of thrown out there without being given any resources of like how to do it if you're not going to grad school. And so I think that, like, I've been really lucky that I took classes at Primary Stages. I still take classes there.
Okay.
And then that has been a really big way that I have gotten... I've met a great community of artists. I've worked with a lot of great community of artists. I work there. I've taken class enough that, like, they know me, that if they have a reading and they, like, have a part that makes sense for me, they'll just they'll email me. And they're just like, are you free this night? We would love for you to do this new piece, blah, blah, blah. And so I've been very lucky that they pulled me in. And that's, if you find a studio you trust, I think that's a really great way after mm-hmm. coming out of undergrad. I think it's, I have to say, like, if you find a good, if you are, like, a server and you find a good restaurant with people who are actively still trying to audition, it can be a really great resource. That's actually how I met a very close friend of mine, Amelia.
Yeah.
I met her through working at Landmark.
That's right.
I didn't meet her through Evansville people. It's Evansville people that kind of eventually came to me through her. And, like, her, and then there was a handful of other people that worked there at the time, way back when, that, like, were still... They weren't, like, people who said they were actors. They were people who were auditioning constantly and trying to, like, take classes and all that kind of stuff. And that... Well, I think I definitely should have hustled a little harder when I first moved here. I definitely started to find the community of people through that restaurant, which has, mm-hmm. like, led me to these people, which has led me to these people. And, like, that's so important. I also came here thinking I was going to do musical theater, which, like,
oh,
totally changed.
I mean, you still do music, though.
Kind of, yeah, but, like...
But not, like, musicals?
No, because, like, I was a classically trained soprano in high school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, no one knows that.
And, like opera?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was trained by an opera singer.
Wow.
And so I was, like, the soprano, because I went to performing arts high school, and, like,
okay.
I was the soprano of the program. And it was, like, really fun, and, like, I loved it. I loved singing so much. And then I ended up getting into a straight acting school, which kind of, like, was not part of the plan. And then I went there. But I still, like, studied. Sometimes I would take voice lessons with the director of the opera program there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, like, kind of keep it up. But it's hard, you know, like, when you're studying something different.
Right.
And you're doing, like, Shakespeare and Chekhov. And you're like, oh, I'm also going to try and fit it in an hour lesson. Like, it was crazy. And then I came here and I kind of felt lost because I studied these things, but I loved this other thing. And so I would audition for musicals for a while, but I'm not a dancer.
Right.
Which, if you're... not a character actor can be very detrimental as an ingenue.
Right.
And so...
And a lot of, like, to kind of work your way up, like, the ensemble and everything, yeah. like, you gotta have
yeah.
the dance.
So, I think, like, while I look back, I'm like, I wish I would have hustled right out of undergrad a little harder. Because I look at people that I work at a restaurant with that are, like, 6 years younger than me, doing the things I'm actually doing now or did, like, 2 years ago. And I'm like, oh, they're ahead of me. But I didn't know. I was figuring it out. Like, I didn't have older people at the restaurant being like, you should do one-on-one. You should do this. You mm-hmm. should, like, I found all of it on my own. And so, and because of that, I've had, like, created relationships and, you know, yeah, I think that makes sense. What
I'm yeah.
And so anyways, yeah. So, like, the whole musical thing, I did it for a while, or I tried to, and it was just like, it's just, I kind of fell out of love with it. And so that was a huge, like, change of direction of being like, okay, I think I'm going to focus more on, like, straight acting. So what is that? And what do I do? And where do I go? And how do I know people? And I think it was also hard because, like, I came out of undergrad non-equity.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still non-equity. I'm EMC.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, trying to figure out how to break through that barrier when you didn't go to grad school and you didn't do a theater works tour.
That's how Frankie got his equity card.
I mean, I know so many people who have, yeah. and, like, I honestly, every Christmas they audition and I'm probably going to go, if they do it again, Charlotte's Web isn't a musical and I'm probably going to try and go in for them.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, whatever, like, get, I'm willing.
Like, that's a hump that you're like, it's I just want to pass that.
Time. Yeah, like yeah. I've had casting directors say that to my face, and not in a mean way, just being like, I don't know what to do with you because you're not equity, so I can't bring you in. And
yeah, I don't know what the rules are about, like, Because you can get your, like, I got mine through having an understudy job. Like,
oh, really?
I got it. I don't know how that works technically with the contracts and stuff. Like,
yeah.
For them to kind of hire you so you can get your card, or I don't know.
But that does happen, but there's, you know, I don't think there's as many theaters that do it as I wish there were.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and after I had that talk with that casting director, like, this earlier this year, I started researching companies that do that. And I also, I've been trying to look at regional theaters that are, like, a little smaller,
mm-hmm.
but definitely, like, bring people in and, you know, you don't have to be equity. Like, they'll still see you or, like, accept video submissions.
Right.
If, even
well, because some of those theaters only have a certain number of equity contracts, so they want non-equity actors as well.
So I'm hoping that, like, maybe somewhere down the line, if I get in something and I'm brought in as non-equity, I'm like, can you make me equity, like, the last 2 weeks of the show? That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, have a negotiation with that. I don't know. That's kind of, like, the dream. But
yeah, but that's on the forefront of your mind right now.
Yeah, it's just, that's been a really, really hard thing to deal with recently, just because I've had a lot of, almost this year, and a lot of really positive things almost happen, but at the same time, like, it's really frustrating to show up to an EPA and be like, maybe I don't get in, you know, like,
or this is gonna be my whole day waiting around.
Whole day. And I only go to things that I'm super right for, or I go on auditionupdate.com and, like, look to see how busy it is, because if it's super packed, I'm like, no thank you. But it's also the kind of thing that, like, I submit every day
for, good for you,
auditions. I'm, like, really vigilant about it. And so when I get really frustrated, because I look on playbill.com all the time, and there's things that's, like, self-submissions, because there's that equity rule now where they'll take, like, 5 actors
who
are self-submitted, but they have to be equity, and they'll consider seeing them for roles. And so they'll take 5 actors that are not represented, and they'll see them for roles in the show. And it's, like, sometimes if I'm super right, or, like, I kind of have an in, I'll, like, still submit myself. But for the most part, that same casting director was, like, he's, like, I will be fined if I bring you in. He's, like, I'm not allowed. He's like, those spots are so precious and reserved, obviously, for unrepresented equity actors, which, totally fair. You know, those people should get seen and, you know, not have to fight 200 people during an 8-hour-long day at an EPA. Like, it's hard. But at the same time, I'm just like, well, then how am I supposed to see you?
Yeah.
You know.
What are your favorite, what's your go-to submission? Playbill, Backstage.
Playbill and Actors Access, actually.
Actors Access.
Yeah, I get a lot of response from Actors Access, which has been great. And I've had, I mean, like, a lot of non-union stuff, which is super, which is nice. I mean, it's like, if I love it, I'll do it. I don't, you know, if you don't pay me or whatever. But it's just like, I want the next tier people to tell me if I'm good or not. You know, like, I'm ready for the casting directors that I know by name, that I see casting the regionals, the off-Broadway, you know, Playwrights Horizons, you know, like, stuff like that. I want them to see me, and I want them to see me without me paying $30 for 5 minutes with them.
I know, that is so painful. I've done some of the one-on-one stuff too, and it's just like, it's paying for an audition.
It's paying for an audition to get in front of
somebody. That's really frustrating.
Especially because there's a time limit. Like, if you talk too long, they just knock on the door and they're like, you're done now.
Yeah.
You're like, it doesn't matter if you hit it off with this person. You don't get to talk to them anymore.
Yeah. But I also, like, I've usually done, the handful of times I've done it is, like, the little one-on-one meetings, because, all, like, the classes are good, but then there's 30 people in there and you never get to talk to them. And it's like, okay, well, at least I'll get to be in there alone with them, and they can see me as a human being for a moment.
Yeah.
Which is good.
But it is. It's very frustrating. But that's the other thing. I'm like, I've been kind of, like, clawing my way through those this year to be like, I need an agent. So at least if I'm EMC / non-equity or whatever, like, they can get me into
Right. rooms. There's someone fighting for you.
Yes, exactly. And so,
and can probably help you figure out the different routes to getting your equity card.
This theater's going to have auditions soon. Like, let's try and get you in because they make people equity. Or this,
right.
Like, someone to talk to that I can, like, bounce ideas off of that'll make sense. You know, like, they'll have more knowledge than I will on the subject, so they can help me, you know?
Yeah.
And if that, it's just, it gets really depressing.
That's a dark spot.
That's a dark spot. You're just like, I'm like, I understand you really that. Like me. Okay, like that's the end.
That's good, but
that's so nice. That is so, so nice. So I've just been trying to figure that out.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know that you've done some producing as well. Yes. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I have produced a reading series called That Thing, mm-hmm. and with two friends that I met through Primary Stages, actually. We were in an acting class together, like, almost 4 years ago, I think, which is crazy. And it started because I had written a 10-minute play, and I was like, I really want to hear this out loud, but, like, you can't do a reading for just a 10-minute play, because that's crazy. So I was like, what if we got a bunch of them? And so the three of us kind of, like, shot the idea around and talked about it, and we were like, okay, what do we do? And then, like, we ended up, through a friend, talking to Characters Bar on 54th, right across from Studio 54, and they have this amazing private backspace, mm-hmm. and they're so wonderful. Linda, the woman who owns the place, is, like, the best. And we were talking to her, and she's like, okay, you know, this is how much it costs to, you know, rent the space, and da-da-da, and we're like, thank you so much. Like, we're not even a real theater company. Like, we're just three artists who want to do a night of readings. And she was like, and we were like, what?
Except sure they'll still make money from the bar.
Oh, yeah. That's why I want to be like, all of my friends are alcoholics. And they're
fine. And they, like, will each buy three beers. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Like, everyone's going to buy all the booze. Like, it's going to be good. And we also always agree to do it on Monday nights because theater is dark. So it is a slower evening for them.
Right.
So they have a bar in the backspace. They'll put a bartender back there for us. And then they let us arrange the tables however we want. We make the evening about hour and 15 minutes long, and it's super low-key, really casual. You know, we basically assign, we, like, we'll choose the plays we want through submissions of friends or friends of friends, and then, like, we'll all meet for coffee one day and be like, all right, this play. Anybody have a friend that would fit this role really well? And then as soon as we do that, we'll send out emails to everyone and then start getting confirmations and then start replacing people if people can't or people aren't available. And then we send a group email to be like, this is your group. You're all CC'd on it, so set up one or two rehearsals. It's a 10-minute play. If you rehearse more than twice, you're crazy. And and it's also a reading, so, like, you don't even have to be off book. And we'll see you on this date. And make sure you're there by 7 and check in with us. Thank you so much. Can't wait. You know, and, like, it's been really fun to get people, because I don't think there's a lot of forums for short plays.
Yeah.
Like, new short, like, I mean, you know, we have friends that do, you know, like, shots and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. Ty Rhino, I think, does, like, great short play festivals, but, I mean, like, to just hear, have a reading, something new that you're like, I threw this together, and
yeah,
is it good? Like, what's it sound like out loud?
Have you done a lot of writing?
I haven't. I wrote a lot more in the past than I do recently. I kind of miss it. I wrote this play when I was at Williamstown that they asked that they produced.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they did, like, it was like a 10-15 minute play or whatever, and they had an evening of short plays, and they were like, we want to do this one. I was like, cool. So that was super fun. And then the play I wrote was called Castle Woes that we produced, that I actually ended up doing an actual production of like a year later.
Nice.
It was about the break room at the Disney Princess at Magic Kingdom.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Yes.
I have not seen it, obviously, but...
Yeah, it was, the actresses... Oh, my God, it was so magical. Like,
it's such a good idea.
It's so crazy. Well, my sister used to be Snow White, so...
Right.
A lot of the things she would say sounded unreal. Like, the way that other people talked, or the way that, she interact with people, or other princesses, and... So I kind of, like, took some things real, and I exaggerated some other things, and I wrote a short play about it, which I really want to extend. Really badly. I want to do, like...
You should.
I really want to. I've been thinking about it really hard. And then I wanted to do, like, a middle act of, like, the princes. And so it's, like, them...
Awesome.
...talking about things that the girls are talking about that they don't even know because they're in different break rooms.
Right, or, like, the relationships going on.
Yeah, I have this dream that, like, the whole play ends with, like, the AM princesses meeting the PM princesses and, like, having, like, a... like, West Side Story, like, da-da-da-da, and it's, like, the morning
princesses. Two Cinderellas, yeah, against each other.
They're, like, staring each other down and being, like...
I love that.
Good luck.
I love
your
it.
Your majesty, you know? but yeah, that was, like, I think a while ago, that was an outlet of like being able to create and write, but I do miss writing. I don't really.
Well, now you write on the blog, but
yeah, exactly.
Not in play form.
Not in play form. I have some plays that are like hanging out on my documents folder, but.
How often do you guys do the short play readings?
You know, I gotta say, it's normally like, who has time? You know, like we're just like, do you have time in the next like 2 months to put this together? And we've tried to do it like 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay.
We kind of dropped the ball this fall. We were like really all about it, and then all of our lives got really crazy. And we just couldn't get it together. But there's something about not being a theater company that feels really, like, free about it.
Yeah.
And the way that because
it's not pressure.
Yeah, and we, like, don't charge. Like, it's free. Like, we don't charge. And people are like, why don't you ask for donations? And we're like, why? That's unfair. You know, we're like, I mean, I guess we could distribute it to actors, but we do 5 short plays. Everyone would get, like, $1, you know? Like, we just do this because it's exciting to, like, produce new work, and it gives people, sometimes we would find friends that we knew hadn't worked in a while. It was a great way for us to like be like, do you want to do a reading? Because I know what that feels like.
Yeah, just to be in a room with people.
And... yeah, just to like collaborate and like meet. And we also, because the three of us met in an acting class, we have totally different friend circles.
Right.
So like I would pull an actor and my other friend Alice would pull the director. And then my friend Molly would have another actor friend. And like, they would meet each other and they didn't know each other. And they would all be like, this person's so great and this person's so great.
Yeah, that's like, great. You're like cross-pollinating.
Yeah. And it was like exciting to bring all these circles together and have these artists to be like, oh my gosh, there's so many talented people I don't know. And it would, and then like watching it all happen and seeing like these people like crush these 10-minute plays, that would just be, it's a really wonderful experience to watch. To like... and also to like sit back with like a gin and tonic and be like, I don't have to do anything. All my work here is done. You know?
Yeah.
And that was, it's kind
but,
of thing.
But to know that you yeah, stirred the pot.
Put
yeah.
It together and all these yeah. people are like doing so great together and you're like,
that's
so
really
great.
Glad
you guys met. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's really nice.
Can I ask about your family and kind of how they
yeah.
take in your life as an artist?
Yeah. My dad is a musician, so... I mean, not full-time anymore, but, like, he was in, like, wedding bands and stuff for
mm-hmm.
years. Like, I remember when I was a kid, he was in wedding bands when we lived in Ohio, and then he was in a band for a while when we moved to Florida. And so he's an amazing guitar player. Like, he is, like, because Phil plays guitar, and, like, he's brought his guitar to my house when we visited in Florida. And, like, they'll, like, mess around together on the couch. And it's pretty amazing.
That's
and,
pretty cute.
And then, like, later on, he's like, your dad's, like, really good. Like, yeah, well, he's been playing for like 40
years.
He's
got some years on you.
Yeah. I was like, I hope he is. He's been playing since he was like 15.
That's awesome.
And then, and you know, my parents kind of like always supported the artistic thing, even though neither of them pursued it as like a career in life. I think it weirded them out that I went into theater at first. Because like I was, I don't want to toot my horn, but a pretty killer clarinet player. And so there was this performing arts high school that had a bunch of different divisions, and I auditioned for theater and band, and I got into both, so I had to choose.
And you were a singer.
And I was, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I didn't really get into singing until after I got into theater.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I got into theater, the program, and then I ended up choosing theater over band, and then I started to take singing lessons, and then I realized, I was like, oh, I really love this. So that kind of came out of, like, getting into that program. When my parents were like, you want to audition for like the theater program? And I had seen like a production of Phantom of the Opera when I was in middle school. And I was like, I want to do that forever.
Yeah.
And so they were like super weirded out. And they're like, okay. I mean, like, they've always been like, okay. You know, like, if that's what you want, go for it. And so when I got in, they're like, okay. And then when I started singing, they were like, oh, shit. Because it was something that, like, I didn't expect to love or to excel at.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest sister is a PA in film and television.
Okay.
And so she ended up actually taking, you know, a different creative route, but still being in the creative world. And then my middle sister, who is Snow White, she actually went to school for computer animation. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So we've all kind of, like, taken artistic routes, and it's weird how that's happened, even though like it's not like our parents didn't show us the arts, but they were never like, you should be an artist or you should be an actor. Like, they weren't, this wasn't something I did, like, as since I was really little.
Right.
You know, like, I...
But they were supportive.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, they were. And, I mean, it's like, when I got into SMU, it was, like, early admission stuff, and they were, like, awesome, you know? And then, like, when I moved to New York, you know, it's just, like, I think they definitely try to understand what this life is like. Because, I mean, I know my parents, they're just like, you just work a lot. And I was like, I know. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like, I'll be like, I did this thing. And I was like, are you getting paid? And I'm like, no.
I really enjoyed it.
It's really special to me, though.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
That's hard to explain.
Hard. Yeah, it is. It's hard to explain to be like, oh, just because I'm not getting paid on this project doesn't mean I didn't meet great people. It doesn't mean someone... who saw me doing that isn't going to pull me in for another project, mm-hmm. or that somehow is going to come into play 3 years down the line. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. So honestly, I don't tell my mom if I have callbacks anymore because she gets really excited.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it.
No, Frankie and I have learned that too.
It's hard because they almost, and then, you know, like 2 weeks later, they'll be like, did you hear from them? And I was like, oh, no.
I would have told you.
Yeah. I was like, maybe still. I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's the kind of thing, it's like, oh, if I would have heard the next day, I would have maybe. But like, it's been weeks. I definitely didn't get that job. And they're, you know, they're always excited when something happens. But I think it's also, like, them trying to wrap their head about, like, why this industry is so weird and so unpaid.
It's really hard to communicate with parents about that because they just want what's best for you.
Right. Oh,
and they just... are trying to show their love, but sometimes it can come out in a way where you're like, this isn't helpful.
It makes you think about it, you're like, oh, I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
I just balanced it out with my day job, you know, and you're just like, but I was fine. I was crazy a couple weeks, but it's like, I think there's something about artists who have day jobs that, like, you have two full-time jobs and, like, that's, you just expect that, you know, I don't know. I mean, unless you get some, like, baller gig.
You gotta have that stamina. It really is two full-time jobs.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
How has it been for you and Phil to be, like, you're married to another artist? How is that?
It's awesome.
How do you guys work it out?
It's the best, because I remember, like, when I was dating in New York...
I'm gonna look up his episode number so I can tell you all.
I was, like, so determined to not date an artist, or date an actor specifically. Mm-hmm. I was, like, absolutely not, like... I don't think we'd be, I just want to deal with someone different. And then I kind of found, but I've always been drawn to musicians. I'm sure that's like some hip of like therapist dream of like talking about how my dad's a musician. I'm sure that's like, it's like,
but you're musical too.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. And but I do love.
Phil was on episode 24. You guys should listen to it.
So long ago at this point. and so I didn't want to date an actor because I wanted someone different, but then I was still always drawn specifically to musicians. And then I didn't want to date Phil because I wasn't interested in dating at the time. I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm living my life.
Yeah.
Like, I was like 26 or something like that, you know, in New York City. I'm like, it's mid-20s. I'm going to go for it. and then we did go on a date, and I was like, oh, crap, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And it was, it's been great because we are very... very supportive of each other, and it is the same kind of fights. Like, just when I think it's hard to get paid as an actor, like, then you look into the music world and it is depressing. Like, no one gets paid in music anymore, and because of streaming, because of Apple Music, I mean, it's like, because no one buys CDs anymore, because, you know, like, that's not a thing. Musicians getting paid is, like, laughable. And so Phil and I talk a lot about, is it worth it? Do we love it enough that it's worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we both know there's a good chance that we will never make a sustainable income off what we love to do.
Right.
And that we have a lot of, like, come to Jesus moments that on the couch with a bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, you know, Phil's in the process of recording his album. And it sounds so good. And it's like every time he's in the studio, he lights up, and he comes home and he like is so happy, and you can tell he just, him and his producer and the guys he plays with, like, they all just love making this art and making Phil's music and playing it and making it the best it can be, and it's like so amazing. But at the same time, it's just like, so we're gonna have this album and like hopefully get to, you know, market it and get people interested and all these things, but like thinking that we're gonna make anything back on it is hilarious, you know? And so we, you know, it's like Phil and I are constantly talk about, is what we love worth it? Because like I know I'm biased, but like I think he is one of the best lyricists I've ever heard.
He's amazing.
Yeah, it's his songs are like poems. They're incredible. And I don't think he quite understands how good of a lyricist he is, which keeps him humble, it's good. It is crazy that he can be so talented and no one knows him. You know, I mean, like, our friends know him. And when he opened for our other friend's band in Petaluma, they loved him. Strangers loved him. No one knows who he is, you know?
Right.
It's like, is that okay enough to keep doing it? That, like, you're not getting paid. And most strangers who you want to love you because you want to touch them with your art, because you want to bring your art into strangers' lives, because that's so much of why we do what we do, is to tell stories, and you want to bring joy to people or make them think, depending on, you know, what your project is. But mm-hmm. like, is that enough when you know you're still gonna have to sit in a cubicle or sling stakes for 8 hours because that's the way I have to pay my rent, you know?
But at least you're wrestling with these things together.
We do, and it's great to be able to like bounce off ideas or vents, you know, venting or like happiness or sadness off of him and him get it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's vice versa of him being like, what's going on and this and that and the other, and like us being able to talk about it. So having an artist as a husband has actually been amazing, because we're you mean like with you and Frankie, like you're in it together.
Yeah, you're a team.
Yeah, you are. You're a team, and it is a really, really good place to come home to.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think in a lot of ways, like when I'll come off like a night shift working and I get home at like, you know, midnight or 1 a.m, and if he's still up, it's just like nice to be able to sit there and be like, you know what this is, because you did these 8 hours, except you did them from like 8 to 6 or whatever, you know, and you still came home and you're like, mer. Yeah. So it's been good.
Now I want to work on something that I actually care about.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And we get that. Like, sometimes he'll be in the we have, like, in our second bedroom in the studio, like, he'll be working on something, and he'll be like, why don't you come in here and work on the blog? Like, I'll just sit like, in the same room together. I'll just, like, sit on the couch and work on things, or, like, look over stuff, or edit photos, or whatever.
And, like, listen to what he's doing.
Yeah, and just, like,
that's so nice.
Be in the room, because we just are trying to figure it out together. You know, figure out what the next steps are going to be and like, what are we doing? But we can always be like, what are we doing together?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It really helps.
It is.
Helps me. I wanted to ask you if there was something that you were really proud of in the last, like, couple of years, like a lesson you've learned or something that you want to tell me about.
I've learned that and this is kind of negates everything that I've said in the past, like 45 minutes or whatever, but I've learned that I have become a stronger actor through life, and I actually feel like I wouldn't have made the impressions I have in the past, even just year and a half, 2 years, 7 years ago, because I was a very different person.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite know who I was, and I didn't quite know... Especially now, like, with contemporary plays and stuff like that, it's about, like, being so present and telling the story and being in the moment of, like, very naturalistic talking. And I find that I have become a much stronger actor because of life. And while I think I was, like, okay in college-ish, and I was, like, okay when I first moved here, I do feel better about the work I put out, because I look at it a little differently, and I'm able to draw on things a little differently because of things that have just happened in the past 9 years here.
Yeah.
Or before that. But, you know, like, I just tell myself that I'm like, okay, you didn't hustle as hard as you should have when you were 24, 25. But, like, even if you would have, you're a totally different person now than you were when you first moved here. And the way that you give an audition or even deal with people, like, I have no shame on Actors Access. I think I told you this earlier. I don't know if I did, where I'm like, if I, you know, in like Actors Access, you can like put a note.
Oh yeah. You had mentioned this like, before. Yeah.
Like, we're looking for something like pretty, but approachable, quirky, but not too crazy. And I'll just type in and I'll be like, I'm quirky and hilarious. Talk to me. Like I'm sure like 7 years ago, I've been like, well, what do I say that like makes an impression, but like, I don't want to be too obnoxious. You know, like, I have no problem.
Got that confidence.
Yeah, I'm like, if you're going to write a breakdown that's like, you can have to be pretty, but like, not too pretty. Like, let's not push it. You know,
you need to have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I'm just like, if you're going to make that what you're requiring, like, I'm going to treat it the same way. And I'm just like, going to throw it right back at you and be like, I'm soups quirky. You know, like, I do that all the time. And a lot of times I get responses, you know, like.
That's so funny.
I just feel like the more I'm myself. Mm-hmm. And the more I have found what that is, the better life/acting has gone for me, because I'm just bringing more realness to it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just a good feeling in life too, to be like, oh, I enjoy where I'm at. I don't wish I was 21.
Yeah. Oh, I really don't.
Cause I've grown as a person and I'm happy with where I am.
Yeah.
I feel that way too.
And it's just, yeah, it's nice to like see where you've come and think about who you used to be. And like, I look at, you know, because like Facebook does that amazing, like 7 years ago, like, I'm like, gross, I've been on Facebook way too long. And also I see pictures of like when I first moved here, like the memories and stuff. And I'm like, I mean, that was fun and I had a great time and I've met some amazing people that I'm still friends with, but like, I don't want to be that person again.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Like, not even a little bit. I've taken so many experiences from that and I've had so much fun. But all of those things have like really brought me in to the actor that I am now, and I'm much more happy with that.
Yeah.
But knowing that, like, I mean, do I wish I was getting paid to act and that I was like got a ton of gigs when I was younger and like just moved here? Of course, like, duh, who doesn't? But also I look and I'm like, I just wasn't secure in who I was to put out the work I wanted. Or the work I'm putting out now would never have existed.
Right.
That long ago.
When you are feeling like you're in the dark place, are there any like concrete things that you reach for again and again, like a book or music or something you do?
I definitely put on a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple Joni Mitchell records that actually like I'll put on if I'm home during the day by myself. Which, you know, when you're alone with your thoughts, it gets real serious. Real spiritual fast. So I definitely like listening to music, but like listening to an album all the way through is such a lost art and lost activity, I guess, these days. And sometimes it's really nice to just like listen to that. I mean, I do love reading in general. I'm in this, I gotta get a new book. I was like reading a whole bunch and then I like haven't had a chance to go buy a new book, and I like owning books, so I have to go get one. But that's something that if things get hard, like I like to read.
Kind of escape into another world.
Yeah, I just go somewhere else. And
yeah.
So that's like, that's nice. I think that's it. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. I have to be honest, like a lot of times I like silence. Like if it's been a bad day, completely opposite of listening to music, sometimes I just like it being quiet in my apartment, especially because I work in a really busy restaurant that's very loud and I have to shout over people all the time, and it's like, it's just screaming all the time. And so, you know, when your job is just to talk to people and be like quote unquote on for so many hours, and then like the kitchen needs runners and you gotta bust this and they're screaming at this, like, to come home, sometimes when it's been like a rough day or I'm just like, why am I just serving food? I just like, I will sit on the couch and I will just have nothing on and I will just sit there, and it's really nice to have silence. Like
It sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's a very safe place. It's just like, I can just sit here on my couch and I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Or pretend like I care about anything.
And then lastly, have you seen anything lately that you want to recommend, like a show or friends shows or whatever?
Well, I did see Drunk Elvania.
You did.
So much fun.
She came to see the show.
If you have not seen the show, like, what are you doing? Like, consider your life, consider your choices. Like, go see Drunk Elvania.
Okay, here's your $20.
Yes, right?
Thank you for the shout.
It was so cool because it was like, I saw it the first time and it was so exciting to see it in another venue and just re-see it again. Like, it's so exciting to see your friends in great shows. Like, that's awesome. So Drunk Elvania was great. I also, if anybody has never seen a 52nd Street Project show.
Yes.
My friend, Michael Propster, does them all the time. And it, like, I have to be honest, like, I don't love kids. like that, if you know me, then you know that it's super true. I'm not a huge fan of kids. I love my friends' kids. I love kids that, like, don't suck, you know, but, like, watching the 52nd Street Project is one of the most heartwarming, enjoyable, entertaining things I've ever seen. And, like, they're free. Mm-hmm. So you can't even be like, I can't afford to go see that show. I would highly recommend going to their website and getting on their email list, because it varies from, like, children writing. The one I saw recently, my friend Michael, it was only adult actors, but children that were 9 or 10 wrote these plays.
Right.
And kids, there's no subtext. The stream of consciousness, the way they write, is amazing to watch these talented actors perform. And convincingly, you know? And, like, it is always fun to go see that.
It's a great organization.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, like, every time I go, I've seen him in almost everyone he's done. And every time I go, I'm like, it's just so fun. Like, you leave with just, like, you're a smile on your face. You can't not, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend that. I think those are, like, the things I've seen recently. I saw a friend's, like, solo show, which was really good, because I think solo performance is, like, the most terrifying thing for an actor ever.
Yeah, very intimidating.
Crushed it. I think she might have actually won, like, best performer or something insane like that. Like, she's
What's her name?
Good. Her name's Leva Vanberg.
Okay.
She's hilarious. We were at Williamstown together, and she, her solo show, if she ever does it again, go see it. It's called Scheißbook, which means shit book. she has, like, her reading material in the toilet. And it was so clever, and, like, I just feel like solo shows can feel, like, weird, or, like, they go on forever, and Leva's show was neither of those things. It was hilarious and very honest and really lovely, and so I'm just like, oh, thank you for proving me wrong about my thoughts about that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much. This was really, really fun.
Thank you. And can I also really quickly say, like, Leah and I bake together cross production promotion amazingness of our side projects.
It was so much fun.
You'll see what we made on the blog when this airs. I will be putting it up.
It was delicious. You should all make it.
Really fun. It involves berries.
And, side projects.
So say that, like, this is an amazing, like, two-way street that
you had to create. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.